Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation. Welcome this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church, and we want to extend a very special welcome to all of those that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you have an enjoyable experience in our worship service this morning and that you will come back and visit us often. I ask that members and visitors alike please register your attendance as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, and if you would pass them to one end and then back to the center. As they come back across, please open it up and get to know anyone who you may not know already that may be sitting on your pew. Got a lot going on this week. We have a new yoga class that will be beginning. It will be a nighttime yoga class from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. beginning on October the 25th. The cost is $15 for 8 classes. And you can call the church office to register for that. Also, reminder that our Wednesday night gathering series will continue. And shagging is back. You will have the option of a Bible study of the Gospel of John with Reverend Dennis or shagging lessons. So that's a good choice. You can shag or you can listen to the Gospel of John. Use the cards in your pew to make a reservation for the gathering. Our puppet ministry for 3rd, 4th, and 5th graders continues each Sunday evening beginning at 5 o'clock. And as we announced several weeks ago, the Women of Faith Conference in Charlotte is sold out, but Main Street will be holding a mini conference this Saturday beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. and continuing until 2 o'clock p.m. If you would like to attend that conference and would like a box lunch, Robbie Coley needs to know by Wednesday whether or not you're going to need a box lunch. So if you would give her a call, her phone number is listed there in the newsletter. But if you would like a box lunch, let her know by Wednesday of this week. If you don't need a box lunch, you can just show up at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. Also, the United Methodist men are participating in the Charity Day ticket sales. This is a sale at Belps in which if you purchase a ticket for $5 from a member of the United Methodist men, you will be able to purchase anything in Belps on October the 28th or the 29th at a 20% discount. 100% of the money from the sale of those tickets is maintained by the United Methodist men and will go to help them in some of their mission projects. Now, let us prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you.
The call to worship. Trust in the Lord and do good. May the Lord give strength to his people. O taste and see that the Lord is good. God is our refuge and strength. Be seated. Please join me in the invocation that is printed in your bulletin. O Lord our God, you are always more ready to bestow your good gifts on us than we are to seek them, and are willing to give more than we desire or deserve. Help us to seek that we may truly find, to ask that we may joyfully receive, to knock that the door of your mercy may be open to us. Through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
I am happy and honored today to invite forward the parents, Julie and Stuart, of Andrew Dawson Driver, and also the grandparents, to stand before us as a congregation for the baptism of Andrew this morning. Please come forward, family, and I ask the congregation to turn to page 39 in your hymnal.
both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ.
Renew.
You nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care.
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the commandments of Christ.
We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his service to others.
We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Let us all join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ,
the only Son of our Lord,
and was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth life. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness. Throughout their lives, that by dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory. All praise to you, Eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. I'm getting a little more practiced holding them. Make sure I get the middle name. Now, Andrew Dawson, I baptize you in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You to hold that. Now, Andrew, the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may ever be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, let me introduce you to your congregation here, who has promised to help your parents and you raise you until that point in which you make a decision and a profession of faith for yourself. And I want you to remember every face here.
Child of blessing, child of rock.
Now, congregation, it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Through baptism, he is incorporated by the Holy Spirit to God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as a member of the family of Christ. As members of the household of God, I do commend this child to your love and care and these parents. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ. And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now, family and grandparents, the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. He's finished now. As for our community concerns, we do have several, and I have some additions. We have a member who's had some tests, and will have some ongoing tests and health concerns, Ernest Pruitt. We add him to our prayer list. And also, we found out this morning that Clint Faulkner did break his arm rather badly, Pam's son, and is home, and will be healing that broken arm, we hope, perfectly and over the shortest time possible. I would like to add to the prayer concern list my father, who is a retired physician, and as I said to the choir this morning, if you've ever tried to get a doctor to go to a doctor, you know how difficult that can be. He has adult onset diabetes, high blood pressure, spinal stenosis, and he has been falling lately and hit his head and got an MRI yesterday, and I will be going. Today is sort of a family intervention to speak to him and to speak to him about the kind of care and the degree of care he will need. So this is a big family meeting this afternoon. I covet your prayers. It's that meeting that adult children don't like to have. Please be in prayer for my father and for my family today. And also we are rejoicing not only at the baptism of Andrew this morning, but the reception by transfer of the Johannics, who will be joining today, and the Castros, who will be joining today. And we have their names listed. We do have their names listed somewhere in this bulletin, do we not? Oh, yes, yes. Andy, Lisa, John, and Megan Castro, and Bruce and Ruth Johannic, and I think that I have pronounced that properly. I'll ask all of them to stand with me today, along with the Driver family, as we exit after the service. Other concerns, the loss of Mary Elizabeth Stockman, and for that family and their loss. For Jim Medley as he recovers, for Josie Adams, for Peggy Ackerman, Joe Hinton, Ed Garvey, who was very low, very weak at the Morton Center, Faye Rush, Buff Lehman under hospice care, Sarah Ann Wise recovering, Joyce Bartless undergoing treatments, your former pastor, Reverend Patty Griffith Falal, and Joyce Rourke, who is home and doing fairly well and does enjoy visits. Let us be in prayer for all of these concerns, as well as our own private concerns, as we go together to God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, hear us as we pray. We come before you joyful, and we come before you, some of us, downhearted. We come before you loving, we come before you, some of us, lonely. We come before you with open hearts because we know that you know us already and love us just the same. Your great love, when it bursts through our earthly vision, digs deeply into our soul and changes us. Your love pierces our walls and hidden selves and lies we tell and lets the light of Christ shine in and heal and forgive and make us new. Lord, enable us and empower us to love you as we should and to love one another as you have loved us. We know a one-way love is not enough, and you have told us to love our neighbors and even our enemies. Lord, we need your help to do that. Help us, we pray, to know how to pray and to know how to live with you in our hearts and minds and souls and how to love others as you have commanded and as you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for all those caught up in the tragedy of wind and storm and dislocation, caught up in war and strife, and caught up in hidden strife in homes and in their minds and emotions that no one else can see. We pray for those who have difficult decisions to make and financial problems that seem overwhelming. We pray for those who have settled for broken relationships and given up the hope of healing. We pray for healing for them as well. Now, Lord, we pray for your guidance in all that we do, for your touch to make us new. Hear now the prayers of our hearts as we lift them up in silence in this moment. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We'll ask the children to come forward now for the children's time today with Kathy Kelly.
Good morning. Today we had something exciting happen a few minutes ago. What did we see? A baptism. And baptisms are extra special because at that time those parents bring that little baby to the church and ask for God's blessing. And we as a congregation and Stuart and Julie as his parents promise to raise that child in the church and teach him all about God's love. And it's not enough just to learn about God's love, but to practice God's love. And when you have Jesus in your heart, you want to do good things for others. And that's what we have promised in part of that litany and part of that reading that we did this morning, that we will help raise that child up here in this church and teach him how to be a Christian and to reach out to others. So as you go out this week, back to school and back to your families, then I would like for you to reach out to someone every day. Try to do something for someone every day and set a good example. Can that be a deal? Is that a deal? Okay. Let us say a prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son. Help us to remember his love and touch someone every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now let us notice and touch one another as we pass the peace.
Listen to the reading from Deuteronomy, 34th chapter, verses 1 through 12. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all his officials, and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
hear the second reading from Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 8. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and had been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we've never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. This is the word of the Lord.
Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our sacrificial gifts.
Thank you. Creator God, all belongs to you, and you have entrusted unto us as stewards a portion to meet our needs and for every good cause. We return a tithe, a portion unto you. We pray your blessings upon it, that it might continue Jesus' ministry and help build your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear now God's word from the Gospel of Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verses 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A small town newspaper carried this misprint in large title type. It said, "Two persons hurt in Route 9 crash. Taylor's woman suffers consciousness." Sooner or later, God's word will become crystal clear in a way that will force major changes in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, in your life. Hearing just a little of God's word here and there can inoculate you to the fact that we all need to change. Jesus, two things. Jesus is the example of the direction we should be changing toward, and God's Spirit is real and available and necessary for us to grow and change and love and forgive as Jesus did. One day we may suffer from consciousness, and then the crisis. The crisis to change or to ignore the crystal clear disparity between our selfish definition of love and God's Word made flesh. God's love lived out in Jesus Christ. A retiring United Methodist minister, I don't have my glasses on, maybe he's here today, preached his last sermon and was saying goodbye to his congregation, and he walked over to an elderly man who never ever missed a Sunday during the whole time the pastor was there. And the retiring pastor shook his hand and he said, "Mr. Smith, you're one of the most faithful church members I have ever known. I know that you haven't missed a single service in all the years I have been here, and I want to thank you. Now, what is the secret for you being here, rain or shine, in good weather, bad, whether you felt like it or not?" And the old man replied, "Well, every Sunday morning when I woke up, I just kept telling myself that one of these days you were bound to preach a decent sermon, and I did not want to miss it." Now, a good sermon cannot be heard for someone else. A good sermon contains all of the gospel, and that means it will confront, it will convict, and then it gives comfort and promise and inspires us to grow. I hope this sermon does all of these. Jesus defines in this scripture the two directions to grow: closer to God and closer to each other. Now, this is no throwaway platitude. Jesus said all the law and all the prophets hang on this. This is big. After attending church one week, President Lincoln was asked what he thought of the preacher's sermon, and he said, "Well, it was almost a great sermon. It only lacked one thing. The preacher did not ask us to do anything." He did not ask us to do anything. Faith, if it is faith, does two things. Faith knows God and makes God known. Knows God and makes God known. There is no secret faith. There is no private faith. Faith connects us to God and connects us to each other, like it or not. There are no Christian hermits, no solitary Christians, no way to even pray the Lord's Prayer properly unless you have two or more to begin with: "Our Father," and "forgive us," and "lead us," and "deliver us." In this scripture, Jesus boils down 39 books, a few thousand years of history of wrestling with God, to love God and love your neighbor. Now, you may remember that wrestling with God is the definition of the name Israel. The rabbis of Jesus' time had meticulously gone through the first five books of the Bible, only the first five, and by their count, they found 613 individual statutes in the law. And they took these hundreds of commands and they attempted to rank them in order. Now, that shows you that Bible study, if you do it to argue, if you do it to justify yourself, if you do it as an academic exercise, can be a wonderful waste of time. Can you imagine the debate ranking 613 statutes? What fun, what arguing, and what a waste. These lawyers were trying to draw Jesus into that debate. "Which is the greatest?" they asked. And Jesus answered with the oldest and the most orthodox of all Jewish scriptures, the defining scripture of Judaism. It was not a new thing. It's from Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. It is called now the Shema. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. It means, "Hear, O Israel, listen up, Israel. The Lord our God is one." There is one God, our God. Listen up. And it continues, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." Now, that's part one of Jesus' answer. Part two is you have to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Now you remember Jesus said earlier in Matthew in the fifth chapter, do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come to fulfill them, to show you what a life lived in God's will looks like. You see, all you have to do is love God totally and unconditionally with all you are and all you have. That's part one. And part two is to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. That's all you have to do. And by the way, you will need God's help to do these things. Of all the possible negative thou shalt nots, Jesus lifted up these two positives, and then he said something new and profound. He said, every bit of the law and the prophets hang on these two. 80% of your Bible is the Old Testament, and all of it hangs on these two. Now, he has taken their dissection of Scripture into bits to argue over, and he has gone the other way and homogenized and come up with one overarching theme. Love God. And that is inseparable from love of neighbor. Your neighbor, who, by the way, is created in the image of the God you say you love. Love of God and love of neighbor are inseparable. You may disagree, but I do not believe that you can have one without the other. If it is true love, then it comes from God. And if it is true love, God will send you out to neighbor. You cannot read the New Testament and hate your neighbor, nor even your enemy. Nor can you reduce the faith of Jesus Christ to mere belief or mere words. There is a sort of a poem I ran across that says, not to love is to deny who we are. Not to love is to lose the joy of living. Not to love is to merely exist without meaning or purpose. Not to love is to deny the presence of God, the image of God within us. Not to love is a form of atheism. Not to love is a form of atheism. You and I were created for relationship. It is built into every fiber of our being. I read years ago of the failure to thrive syndrome in infants. And it was noted first, I believe, in infants in orphanages in the former USSR, where otherwise healthy infants simply did not grow. And some even withered and died, apparently because they were never held, almost never touched. As difficult as it is, we were made to love and be loved, connected to God and to each other, and all of the other each others created in God's image, and that means every single one on this planet. We sometimes try to narrow the definition. Now, you know, that's been tried already. You remember in the Gospel of Luke, the man who said, now, Jesus, just who is my neighbor? Now, tell me just who is my neighbor? I don't want to love anybody I don't have to. And that's when Jesus told the Good Samaritan story about worshipful, orthodox, Scripture-quoting Jews who passed by the man bleeding in the ditch. And Jesus made the Samaritan the heretic with the bad theology and only a fraction of the Bible knowledge, the hero of the story. Why was he the hero? Because he stopped and he helped. He had compassion and he proved to be the brother to the man in the ditch. Jesus did that. He told that story and it promoted compassion over proper theology. From 1 John we hear this, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi, once said that he would have become a Christian if it were not for the Christians he met. He would have become a Christian if it were not for the Christians he met. He was aware of the tragic separation between our theology and our practice. Our witness can be witnessed by others in only one way, and that is by living out the love of God. Talking it will do no good unless the truth of the words rings true in our daily lives. And this is hard. And this is why our faith must sometimes be worked out in fear and trembling. Jesus, when He said to love God and neighbor as self, was not saying anything really new, except the new part was He lived it. I have found in Bible studies and in men's groups that men especially turn off when they hear the word love. We do. We think it's a mushy sort of girly word. We do. But that's not it. When you think of love, think of the cross. Think of giving yourself for another even when it costs. It has nothing to do with mushy feelings. It is a choice to do what is good and helpful and healing for another, even for your enemies. And we need to be clear on this. As Jesus hung on the cross, we were His enemies. Jesus showed us two things in His life and in His death. What a life lived in God's will looks like, and how we hate to be told that we need to change. In other words, in Jesus we see God's will lived out, and we see our need for a Savior all at once. He lived God's will, and the world despised Him. He called us to repent of ritualized, self-serving religion, and He called us to love each other instead. As He commanded, love one another as I have loved you. I want to tell you about a witness of this. Last week, a former pastor and friend of mine, Joe Sowell, he died last week. One Christmas Eve, he let his family, now this was Christmas Eve, he let his family go off to North Carolina, and he stayed back in Grambling so that he could serve communion to me and my in-laws and my family during a time of tremendous tension and division between us. Joe stayed behind so he could serve as presiding pastor and let me commune and try to make peace in a difficult, difficult extended family situation. And I'm never going to forget his sacrifice and his willingness to do it. You see, he was retired. And he had no official duty to me or to preside in my appointment. But that's part of the point. When do you get to retire from compassion? When do any of us arrive fully mature and perfect in our Christian faith? When have you loved enough, cared enough, forgiven enough, believed and understood enough to just sit back, not grow anymore, not change anymore, not do anything new in the name of Christ ever again? Jesus' definition of faith involves us connected to Him as the vine and we producing good fruits, good works in His name. When you understand the action of love God took in Jesus Christ, we are obliged to act accordingly to others, to take up our cross. To love even when others are unloving to us. I cannot stop at solving my alienation from God and ignore others. Salvation, as a word in Greek, also means healing. God in Christ heals us inside our souls and outside in our lives and in our time and in our talents and even in our pocketbooks. We are healed and we are saved for God and for God's use. And healing others. Christ died for you, yes. And that is good news, but not only for you, but also for the sins of the whole world. If your faith stops with you and deals only with eternity and not compassion on real people here and now, you have only a part of the gospel message. Life here matters too. What you do here matters too. In our Christian witness, in our outreach, Jesus' debate with the Pharisees, and especially in that Good Samaritan story, made it abundantly clear that proper doctrine is meaningless without a healed life connected to God and sent out in love to others. Irony of ironies, I spent 2 hours this week at the YMCA the other day, and I was listening with my little portable MP3 player, I was listening with earbuds on, to a book, listening for 2 hours to a book on how to teach men and women to communicate with one another. Now, did you hear me? Listening to a book. I was in several different rooms filled with men and women with earphones on, listening to a book teaching me how to teach others to communicate with one another. And I did not say one word to one soul the whole time I was there. Later, God sort of struck me with the silliness of that. More than half of the ones there also had on earphones. And I've seen these ideal, happy family advertisements lately for new cars that show mother and father in the front, dad with a little phone thing in his ear, mom with an MP3 player in her ears, and kid number one with a DVD player with headphones, kid number two with a DVD player with headphones, and this is supposed to be a positive ad to sell that car. Look, you don't have to talk to each other ever again. They're all smiling. Even in the church, it can be that way. Unless you get involved in smaller groups like the men's club or the youth group or the women's circles or a Sunday school class where you can share and be known, we need to be connected to one another. Jesus of the Bible will not allow himself or his teaching to be reduced to a warm, mushy feeling. Do you love God, he's asking, and do you love other people, he asks, then don't bother telling me how you feel about them. Tell me what you are doing for them. How you are listening to them. Love is something you do. Love is the example of washing feet I gave you, says Jesus. It is made clear the limits of love when you see the cross. There are no limits. The gospel cannot be boiled down to mere belief and isolated salvation. Scripture will not allow that. And Jesus' parables and encounters were filled with healing and forgiving and touching and compassion. That is what he lived. And that is what we are called to live. And that is where we run into problems because we define love as too small and too narrow to make a difference. Or we go the way of the Pharisees and we define God's will into mere words. And we repeat them and we feel righteous and we go about our business touching no one and allowing no one to touch us. Lost and lonely as ever. Now there is a third way. The way of conviction. Conviction, an old-fashioned word. It is when you see the difference between your life and the life that Jesus lived, and you understand that you are not what God intended, and you cannot be what God wants you to be unless you turn completely around to God and turn yourself completely over to God and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, heal me. Lord, save me from this emptiness. I know there is more than this. I know there is more than this. Lord, remake me, remold me, touch me, wrap your arms around me so I can truly live. That is faith. And that is why we sing of joy. And when we do that, God sends us out to each other. Love is a verb. Faith is also a verb. There is also doing along with the believing. There is also doing along with saying the words, I love you. There are always other people involved. And they are not always easy to love or forgive or even care for. And that is why we need God's help to live this faith of ours, and that is why God's Spirit is available in every moment, just a prayer away. If we dare call ourselves Christians, we will boldly turn again and again to God for help to love. And in the process, we will find God nearer and nearer. Faith is a journey, a sojourn, not a statement. Remember, God's Word does not become faith until it becomes flesh. God's Word does not become faith until it becomes flesh in our lives. Which brings us back to baptism. We promised to this young child, as a church, to be loving as an example in an unloving world. We promised that. And we promised to each other to be a refuge for all who are seeking comfort and care. We promised. And we promised to God and to all who are baptized to love God and to reflect God's love in the world as an act of faith and hope. Now some of you may say on the way out, some of you may say, Pastor, that was a wonderful sermon. But I'm going to be thinking. That remains to be seen. It depends on what we do differently. May you all suffer consciousness. May you all suffer from complete consciousness that Jesus did say, love God with all your heart and then love your neighbor as yourself. I command you. Faith requires it. And God will give us the power to produce good fruit in our lives. As we struggle, as we grow, as we reflect the love that God has made known in Jesus Christ. Made known to us not just for our benefit, but for the benefit of others around us, through us. Let us love as Christ loved. Amen. Please stand. I do invite the Driver family and Andy, Lisa, John, and Megan Castro, Bruce, and Ruth Johannick to meet me up front to be greeted by this congregation. Receive now this blessing in the form of the words of the third verse of the hymn we just sang. Come, Spirit, come, our hearts control, our spirits long to be made whole. Let inward love guide every deed, by this we worship. And are freed. Lord, you have blessed us. Help us be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.